and welcome to another Blue Toon podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll be looking back at our games against East Fife and Falkirk. We'll be looking ahead at a busy final schedule in the coming week or so. And as well as all that, we'll be hearing from Jason Brown, Nia Payne and Lenny Wilson. And we'll also be hearing from manager Jim McAnally, who will be celebrating a milestone on Saturday. So, Martin, are we still buzzing after Tuesday night's win?
Yeah, it was a really good win, an important win as well. You're just hoping that we can carry that sort of performance and momentum into the remaining couple of games.
It's nice to kind of go into work on the back of a win rather than the normal Tuesday defeats that we've been getting recently, especially at home.
Aye, there's only so much stick at work you can take for for defeats and poor performances, so it's quite nice to go into work Wednesday with the spring in our step, given the result against Falkirk.
Head held high, as they say.
Absolutely, yeah, you're bang on.
Right, so we should start, however, with a defeat last Saturday's game against East Fife away from home. It was our final chance to keep the top half hopes alive for a large period of the game. It looked as though we were keeping that hopes alive, but in the end, a couple of errors and decisions going maybe against us have cost us.
Yeah, I think for the first hour or so we looked okay. I don't think neither team were in complete control of the game. Quite an even game for what we saw. But yeah, nonetheless, I think it was at a 10-minute period in the second half that totally changed the game. The red card, the two goals that we've conceded. On the balance of play, I think maybe a draw would have been a fair result. But as we said, nonetheless, it was a defeat and it resigned us to the bottom half of the table.
Yeah, a couple of surprise starters, should we say, in the lineup. Derek Lyle starting for just the second time this season, and then Danny Strachan coming in for the injured Ryan Conroy. Both at different ends of the spectrum in terms of where they're at in their career, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think you could get much further apart within the squad. Danny Strachan coming in, obviously ahead of Kyle, was probably less surprising than Derek starting. I was quite surprised when I seen Derek starting, because nowadays you expect a cameo appearance the last 20 minutes, last 15 sort of time. But yeah, for him to start, he did well, held up the ball. He obviously he's never going to chase him behind, but he gave a really good account of himself. And as you said, it was only his second start of the season, so yeah, he was thrown in at the deep end with a starting appearance.
As you said, not much really happened in the first half, but there was a goal. Hamish Ritchie scored again for the second away game, his second goal. A tough little finish. Again, it was composed. You could have easily rushed it or blazed it wide, but it was a good finish.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we should make it clear we've no ties with Hamish Ritchie. We place him quite a lot to commentary on the podcast, but he really is a fantastic player. And as you said, his composure on Saturday as well. Slight deflection, I think it was a block by Scott Brown's effort into his path, and quite easy, he could have snatched it, but he sort of just let the ball bounce and just taken it in his stride and a left foot to finish past the goalkeeper on his weaker foot, you would say, but yeah, showed real maturity with his age to swap that in.
And it's good to see a midfielder running beyond the strikers as well to pick up an opportunity like that.
Yeah, it's something last season that maybe Scott Brown would have done. Obviously, things have changed this season. He's been slightly deeper, less runs in behind. So for Hamish to come in, he's sort of taken that job on. And even in the handful of games that he's played, he's consisted with a couple of assists and goals thrown in as well for good measure, just chipping in, helping the strikers out.
But at the other end, Josh Ray had two or three fantastic saves to keep it 1-0.
Yeah, there was one in particular I'll pick out. I think it was the start of the second half, 55 minutes. For all intent and purposes, it looked like it was going in the top corner, and he's picked out a tremendous save to put out for a corner. Just at that point, you felt East Fife were just starting to get more of a foothold in the game. You felt that the momentum was swinging their way, and a terrific save. He'll be proud of that one, and I'm sure when he looks back, he'll be pleased with it.
We shouldn't be surprised by his performance because he's been showing signs of that all season.
Yeah, we've always known, even for the first couple of games when he came in, that there's a really good goalkeeper there. You know, and Queens took him on loan. I know it was only a 7-day emergency loan, but you know, had he been needed, they'd have been quite comfortable with him playing in goals as well. I hate to say it, but he could certainly play at a higher level than what he's playing at just now.
Yeah, we won't tell him though. We'll just.
Yeah, we'll leave that. We won't tell him, but he's certainly a goalkeeper. But I think he would know it himself. That he could go far in the game if he applied himself well.
Yeah, the one big decision, I guess, in the game was shortly after we did score. The potential handball, shall we say, shortly after we score, we kind of put on a freeze frame on our social media. It looks quite clear. We heard after as well that the linesman had told the referee that he thought it was. So why did he not give it then?
The million-dollar question. I start to give up now in football with what's handball and what's not in the box, because if that's outside the box, it's a free kick. But like you said, we're hearing that the linesman did tell the referee that he felt it was a penalty, but the referees decided not to go with it, which is unusual. Normally, assistant referees are not inclined to get involved in decisions like that. They sort of leave it to the ref, but on this occasion, he's been confident enough with what we feel was the right decision that it would have been a spot kick. But for some reason, the referee has decided not to award the penalty. And I guess that's the frustrating part, that obviously if a manager's had a poor result or players have had poor games, they still do their media duties afterwards. It's, I know you're opening a can of worms, but it's maybe something, even if the referee spoke in private with the managers to say, look, this is why this didn't happen or this is why this did happen, there might be more transparency within the game between, and you know, bridging that gap, because sometimes you feel officials are sort of isolated from management teams. I do think that might help just bridge the gap between the managers and the officials if they come out, not necessarily to the media, but come out to the managers and explain why a decision has or hasn't gone for their side.
I get that the referee didn't have the best view of it, but to have his assistant tell him that it was, and he was advising him to give it, surely you would go on his advice. If he doesn't do that, then what's the point of having? Because that's why they were changed from linesmen to assistant referees, because they are there to assist the said referee.
Yeah, I can't argue on anything you've said there. It's exactly they had the name change a couple of seasons ago for that exact reason. I don't know why he's, as you said, the referee maybe didn't have the best view, but that's the reason that you've got your assistants down the flanks. They're there to assist in that areas. And really, he was the best placed official to give that, because obviously we don't have fourth officials in League One. They, from the dugouts, they had a good view as well. So it's surprising, frustrating that we didn't get it, because I do feel that if that had gone in, you've gone 2-0 up, it becomes certainly a different game. We've got something to hold on to.
Yeah, it certainly changed the game. It changed the mindset of both teams, because East Fife and Peterhead both potentially trying to get into that top half, going anywhere with a 2-0 lead or you're 2-0 down, suddenly your half-time talk changes completely. And at one point, you've got a goalkeeper who's played a game of his life on one end, and at the other end, you know, we're getting the chances, we're creating the chances, and the decisions are going our way. And then all of a sudden, one goes against this, and it just seemed to kind of affect the rest of the game after that.
Yeah, as you said, the half-time team talk would change quite a bit between 1-0 and 2-0. And the players involved themselves, they'll know if it was a penalty or not. He knows that he's handled the ball, and he probably knows himself that there's a good chance that could have been given. And if he's potentially heard the assistant referees calling for that a penalty as well, then he knows that he's committed the foul and given it away with a handball. And as you said, it changes it. So I think that would have given them the lift that they potentially knew that they could have been 2-0 down. They were still in the game at 1-0. And as you said, the second half, there was a 10-minute period and it sort of unravelled for us.
Yeah, that 10-minute period started with the red card of Andy McDonald. We don't really have much of an argument with this one. We might argue the handball, but certainly not going to argue with this one.
No, absolutely no complaints for the red card. It's maybe one of them. Are you, if he was a yard further forward, either the striker, as in so Andy McDonald would have been in the box, would you prefer to give away the penalty and keep it as 11v11? That's probably the only hindsight thing you maybe think, well, if we'd given a penalty, yes, likely it is, we'll concede a goal, but then you've still got 11v11 on the pitch. Wasn't to be, free kick. They didn't score from it, but from there on in, they really turned the screw on us, and it was almost like a matter of time before a goal was coming in East Fife's favour.
Well, I actually thought straight away it was a penalty, because it was that tight, and then it wasn't until you sort of see the highlights later on that he's given it just outside. There probably is an argument that it could have gone either way, but I guess it because of the new rule and things like that. Yeah, would you prefer to just, you know, take the chance on the penalty, or do you go down to 10 and you're less likely to concede from a free kick, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of the. But having said that, I said we're likely to concede a goal. The way Josh was playing, you wouldn't have put it past him to actually save the penalty. Yeah, it's one of them things. Hindsight's a great thing, but nevertheless, we went down to 10 men and we had to show a bit of resilience and resolve, but it just didn't quite happen.
It lasted about 2 minutes, because then
yep.
The resolve lasted for about 2 minutes, and then they equalised through Danny Denham, which was exactly what you didn't want to happen straight after going down to 10.
Yeah, we've given away a set piece, ball in the box. I can't remember who it was. It was with him. It might have been Ben Armour. I could be wrong. I'm really not sure, but PI player didn't really get tight enough to him. He's got the run ahead of him, headed it on, and yeah, for as good as Josh was playing, he didn't really stand much of a chance for that header.
And then again, shortly after that, about 5 minutes or so, Agnew scores. Again, this one, I'm adamant this is intended as a cross. Commentators on the day obviously were slightly biased. Thought it was a fantastic strike, but if you ask him, I think if he's been honest, he'd probably say it was a cross.
I personally think it was a cross, but going by the commentator's unbiased opinion, it was a worldly. I know we're all supporting our clubs. The way it was described, you would think it was a worldly goal. I think it was a cross. They've got lucky, but you know, you just need that break, and it went for them. It went against us. And you know, it just shows you in League One that the fine margins come to the difference between 1 point and three.
It was always going to be uphill at 1-1 with 10 men, 2-1 as well with 15 minutes to go. It was gonna struggle, but after the red card, we didn't really sort of show anything going forward.
No, as much as we're frustrated, also it was a 10 minute period. The chances of us being in the top half were lost in the games with Forfar and Clyde. I know we've played Partick, got beat, and obviously we got beat East Fife, but they're not the games that are really going to determine whether you get the top half or not in the grand scheme of things. Showed good play at times doing at East Fife, but we're, as I go back to that, a 10-minute period with the red card, the two goals, and as you said, the last 10 minutes or so, we didn't really look like scoring.
No, I mean, if anything, I think East Fife were quite happy to sort of almost smash and grab it and get the 3 points, which meant that they were pretty much almost guaranteed to be the top half. But as things kind of transpired on the Tuesday night, they couldn't get the 1 point to keep them in there, and they've ended up being fifth.
Yeah. It like I said, it just shows you that the fine margins, anybody can beat anybody in this league, and obviously they just needed a point to get into the top half, but it wasn't to be.
Sixth, I should have said sixth, not fifth.
Yeah. You know what, Tuesday was a difficult evening trying to keep up with everybody, because it changed about four or five times throughout the course of the evening, who was top, who was bottom, so in the relegation playoff, so we can be forgiven for a slight miscalculation.
It's top half is what they were going for, and that's all I had in my head. But anyway, so yeah, it was rather disappointing. We kind of felt a bit low, and I thought, well, okay, so now we've got Falkirk, who were top at the time, heading into Tuesday night's game, and we kind of thought, oh, well, we're now sort of looking over our shoulders again a bit here. But as we said prior to it, Falkirk had only one win in four. Form wasn't great. They were missing about three or four first team players, which may sound a lot, but you know, besides their squad, they've got the full time players, etc., etc. You were still, you know, fancied them to come up and get the result, but that didn't transfer for them.
No, it certainly didn't. As you said, they were missing a few players, but you'd have still expected them to come up to beat ahead and win. It was maybe the perfect time to play Falkirk, in the sense of there was no expectation on us, all the pressure on them. You know, at one point I think they had an 8-9 point lead in League One, and they've squandered it. The pressure was on McCracken and Miller going into the game, and for some reason their team just didn't turn up on the night. And you know, every man in the blue shirt for Peterhead gave a really good account of themselves. There was not one player that was below par. Yeah, and a really, really good performance for the guys.
Having gotten beat by Cove 2-0, they would end up being level on points. So as you said, that lead that they had disappeared. And it was quite evident that the pressure was on. Even in the early stages, you could just sort of sense, whilst being in the stand and in the ground, that you could just sense there was a bit of pressure on the two managers, even when you know they're sitting actually top. But because that lead is already gone, the pressure is now on them to try and, you know, get that lead back again.
Yeah, I know it doesn't sound much in the grand scheme of things, but you know, even within the first 10 minutes there, appealing quite loudly for 50-50s that have gone against them. That's just that lot of things. You could feel the pressure building. The longer the game went on, the more we grew into it. It was like 15, 20 minutes before half-time, with a lot of play with the ball. We were quite comfortable trying to get in the wide areas. Nia Payne caused them a lot of problems down there at the left-hand side. And you just felt that the longer the game went on, the more pressure that was getting piled on Falkirk. You just felt something could happen for Peterhead. Thankfully, it did. We got a bit of a break with the red card as well, so it made it 11-10. But taking nothing away for the guys, it was a really good performance.
With a couple of surprise starters on the Saturday, definitely the biggest surprise on Tuesday when we found out that Lenny Wilson was starting. We jokingly thought it was a typo on the team sheet, but right enough, he was there when the game kicked off. It was a surprise to us. It was obviously something that Jim had been intending on doing. As he said afterwards, he wanted to see how Lenny is playing. He obviously hasn't played at all, really, just the two League Cup games. It's probably in the back of his mind, judging what he's going to be doing for next season, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was probably part of the decision, if not the whole reason that he played. It's looking at next season. He's had Lenny there now for two seasons. Also, he's behind Greg Fleming the year before. And he wants to see if Lenny can do it. It's okay playing him in cup games, or you see him in training, but you didn't really get that game feel. Maybe surprising it was Falkirk, like I just said a couple of minutes ago. It was almost a no-pressure game, in the sense that all the pressure's on Falkirk. So it was maybe a game that's he was quite comfortable to throw him in. He obviously has got a lot of confidence in Lenny, because I also feel McDonald being suspended, you were changing the centre-half pairing plus a goalkeeper. It could have gone wrong. Like I said, he's probably got a lot of confidence in Lenny. Knows what he can do in training. And although Lenny didn't have a save of note to make, it's the lot of things, the communication, the being on the edge of the box, being there in the right place at the right time. As I said, didn't have much to do in the game, but what he did do, he did well.
He literally had nothing really much to do apart from a couple of catches at the end of the game. But yeah, he sort of performed well and picked up his clean sheet bonus as well. So if he's got that in his contract. But Bailey came in as well, as we said. It was his first start since the defeat to Stenny in the Cup. But he played really well as well.
Yeah, Kyle maybe, you know, played himself out of form. There has been occasions this season where in certain games he hasn't looked as good as what the standards that he'd set himself when he first came into the club. He looked a really good signing, sort of dipped below that. to a couple of games out or sitting on the bench, he's maybe refocused himself and he realises what he's got to do to be in the squad. It is a small squad, but like we said before, there's a few players who can play in different positions. I think the fact that Kieran Freeman's probably played every position bar goalkeeper this season, you know, I think that the fact that Bailey's been out and he's realised, okay, this is what I've got to do to get in the squad. McDonald was suspended, he's come in, and, you know, it gives Jim a decision to make for not only with the goalkeeping situation on Saturday, but, you know, do you start with Bailey again at centre half, do you move him to right back? It's positive headaches to have rather than the worries that Jim's going to be had in the last couple of weeks.
And the performances of Darren Strachan as well, even though we lost to East Fife, he was probably one of the better players on Saturday, and again, he performed admirably on Tuesday night.
Yeah, he's done well. The lone guys that have come in this season have done really well. So I've been thrown in at the deep end. I think Danny could have scored. Was it one of his first couple of touches against Partick Thistle? I think it was the wrong person at the wrong place. If I'd fallen a striker, you just never know. But yeah, he's done well since he's come in. He's looked calm. He's looked assured. He likes to get forward as well. Defending, no qualms. I think there was at one point on Tuesday, Falkirk had a 2-on-2. It was Freeman and Strachan was running back, and both of them got back showing good pace, good awareness of who's around about, and kept looking over his shoulder to see where the striker was. And yeah, no complaints since he's come into the starting 11.
If you were a Falkirk fan, you were watching that game, I guess you'd be pretty disappointed with the way the team played. I know form hasn't been great, but looking at it from where we were, their main tactic was get it up to Conor Salmon, but that wasn't working, so the other option was to then ping it across to Callum Morrison on the right hand side, but Kieran Freeman was keeping him pretty quiet as well.
Yeah, it was strange for Falkirk because, like I said, you could feel the pressure mounting on the management team. I think that escalated on and transpired on the players on the pitch. They were trying to get the ball really quick rather than play it through Peter Heath. They were trying to go long up to Salmon. Brown, I think, won most of his headers, if not them all, bar maybe one or two. But as you said, the ball was going wide to Freeman and he was cutting out the pass to Morrison. So other than that, they looked poor. I've got to admit, I know their form's not great, but sometimes you can have poor results but be playing well. We've seen that ourselves. We've played well in games and just not gotten anything from it. But I think the telling thing was just their social media after it had gotten beaten. The comments was, you know, they weren't happy with the team performance or the management duo either. So, yeah, if you're a Falkirk fan watching that game, you'd be... Yeah, I don't think you'd be raving about winning the title, that's for sure. Even though it's only a couple of points, looking on that performance, you wouldn't have fancied them at this moment in time.
No, and I think Partick Thistle, in all honesty, have kind of hit form at the right time, and that's why they've ended up being at top. But Jason Brown, as you said, was your man of the match, and he kind of kept Conor Salmon, not just Conor Salmon, quiet, but anybody that was anywhere near him. Yeah. And he seems to be, and I think we've said this before, but he seems to be kind of maturing into the defender that we think he should be. Maybe there were signs that maybe last season or the season before where there was too many mistakes, too many errors. He would be maybe overly aggressive on occasions, and errors would creep in. But he seems to have cut that out completely this season.
Yeah, there's quite a few things I think has changed with Jason in the last year. As you said, the mistakes have been cut out. I think last season players knew how to wind them up. And I think he sometimes got caught up in the physical aspect rather than trying to play the actual game that was in front of him. He would try, prime example would be McLean at Montrose. He likes that physical battle, but sometimes he was drawn into actually having a tussle with him rather than watching where the ball was and he's coming out of position. I think his positional awareness just now is really, really good as well. He sees the game slightly better. I think he didn't really lose an aerial battle on Tuesday. The fact that he got the goal, but I think his overall play, there was a different centre-back partnership plus a different goalkeeper for him as well to contend with, for, you know, with Lenny coming in and Bailey. So I just think overall on Tuesday, everything was sort of going right for Jason Brown, and obviously capped off with a good finish as well. So, yeah, he's certainly a much better player than what he was last season. So you're just hoping that when he goes into next season as well, that he'll be an even better player.
Yeah, he took his goal well as well, and it was well anticipated from Strachan's free kick. It was, or sorry, I should I say that the free kick was taken in a different angle, taken into it. He was the first to kind of react, and it had the simplest of finishes.
Yeah, a good ball in for Danny Strachan. I think that sort of makes the goal, because it was at a packed penalty box, and whilst we've got a few big guys, maybe didn't win much aerial battles in the attacking sense on Tuesday, but as you said, he's gone up for the header, taken a deflection, he's been able to tap it in, and by looks like he certainly enjoyed his celebration as well.
Yeah, aye. Right in front of the Falkirk dugout, which I don't think it was planned as such, but it's certainly how it looked anyway.
Aye, I think there was a lot of build up in that celebration as well, because like I said, it was a good performance by the team, and you felt the man advantage if you could just get a win here, because also we knew at that time Clyde were winning as well, and it would just give us that. You know, the extra 3 points in a game that we probably weren't anticipating to win. I know as players, you go into every game, you know, wanting to win and think that you can. But I think realistically, you maybe think, you know, if we get a point from this game, we'll take it. And also the fact that we got three and just push ourselves further away from 11th place, which now Dumbarton occupy. Yeah, it was a good evening all around for us.
What was key as well was equaling or matching Clyde's victory as well. Because as we said, it was mathematically possible for them to even jump above us into seventh from where they were started out on Tuesday night. So it was key that we kind of matched theirs. I don't think when we saw their scores coming in, we thought, oh no, here we go. But to get that kind of late goal was key.
I think the bigger thing as well is, I know Clyde's won, but when they've gone back into the dressing room and seen that we've beaten Falkirk, you'd imagine that there's a few of them quite disappointed, because they'll be thinking, you know, Falkirk got to Peterhead, maybe not in great form, but if they can beat Peterhead and we win against Forfar, you know, they get the chance to leapfrog us, and they've gone into the dressing room, seen that we've won. It's maybe just that another nail in the coffin for them. You think, well, they might just need to get out. And with 4 games to go, we've all to play each other, I know that, but, you know, you'd rather be in our position, obviously, than Clyde's.
Prior to the goal, obviously, there was the red card for Gomez. Got his second yellow for a dive in the middle of the park. Question is, should he have been sent off prior to that?
Yes.
There's no question. there's not even a discussion about it, really, is there?
No, there's no debate. And what annoys me is the referee he's seen the break for Peterhead. He's signalled for the advantage, so he knows that there is a foul being committed. And I would almost guarantee you, had that been a player that made that challenge that wasn't already on a booking, he'd have gone back and booked him. So why not go back and book him, even though he is? Two rights don't make a wrong. The referee on that occasion, I thought he did a good first half, the referee. I think I maybe mentioned that in the comments.
Him.
I don't like praising referees too much. But on that occasion, he was wrong there. He acknowledged that there was a foul. They allowed the advantage to take place, which is good refereeing, but he should have gone back and booked him. And I actually think that Jim or Davy in the touchline was asking the assistant referee at the time as well, well, why is that now a booking and gone back? And I think maybe even Scott Brown spoke to the referee. So it's a lot of things like that's frustrating, because exactly the same could happen on Saturday and the referee would go back and book the player. Again, you go back to consistency and you want Abdi to be working off the same page. But yeah, no questions that he should have been sent off previously. Having said that, the referee must have been very confident with his decision to send a player off for simulation, which is something you don't often see when a player's been booked already.
Especially in that area of the park as well.
Yeah, it was just over on the far side, around halfway line, to have nothing sort of area in the pitch, and he's been very confident. I just wonder whether the assistant referee being asked a question and Scott Brown asking the referee at the time why Gomez wasn't sent off. I just wonder if it was in the back of his head thinking, yeah, maybe should have sent him off. Not that I'm saying the referee was then looking for a foul to happen to send him off, but for him to send him off for alleged simulation, it's one of them the referee's got to be really, really careful of.
If the referee had looked at the first one, and I'm maybe just trying to make excuses for him here, but was it maybe a case that he's had maybe too long to then think about it in terms of the advantage that Peterhead had got? I think before the ball went dead again, there was a good sort of 30 seconds. So has he then had too much time to maybe think, well, maybe is it worth a booking? Is it not worth a booking? And then decided not to book him.
Yeah, you're probably right. To be fair, he maybe has talked himself out. But is that an occasion where, when the ball's gone dead, he maybe asked his linesman on the far side to us that would have been on Tuesday? You know, you've seen it. You've got a good angle as well. What was your thoughts? And again, if they come to the right decision, you're not fussed who he talks to, even if he's coming out the assistant in front of us. And thought, did you have a view of it? What's your thoughts? That, yeah, you're probably right. He maybe has talked himself out of it.
But if you were the Falkirk managers or co-managers, and you know that Gomez is on a yellow, he's your defensive midfielder, he's been almost, it's been focused on by the opposition coaches and management team, would you then not think, well, I should maybe get him off before he's sent off?
Yeah, the next time the ball has gone out, Gomez, in my opinion, if you're a Falkirk manager, would have been taken off, because you just risk any foul that he gives away. You just know that there's going to be pressure on the referee to send them off. So you're absolutely right, my opinion. I thought that on Tuesday, that I thought it wouldn't be long before Gomez was taken off, but obviously he got sent off. Thankfully for us, he did. But yeah, maybe a wee bit of naivety from Kraken and Miller to try and leave him on, as you said, defensive midfielder. And the way that we were looking at midfield and trying to break, you just felt that one more foul and he'd been sent off.
It's probably the pressures of them, you know, wanting to win the game and maybe taking one of their more experienced players off, or not even thinking clearly enough to think we should maybe bring him off.
Probably, as you said, the pressure to try and win the game. They're wanting the best players in the park, but ultimately the red card and playing with 10 men for the final 15, 20 minutes might have been their undoing, because obviously we then go on to win the game with the goal after the red card. But yeah, maybe somebody more experienced in the dugout might have decided, you know what, we'll take him off and try and protect what we've got, and then, you know, you don't risk that second yellow.
Maybe Gary Holt would have taken him off.
Yeah, you never know. Like I said, like an experienced man in the dugout might have made a better decision.
But you could see at the end of the game the relief on the players when the final whistle went. They knew how important that 3 points were.
Yeah, I go back to it. It was a no pressure game for us, in the sense of Falkirk were expected to win. So the fact that we've got that win, maybe in the back of the PRU players' minds, they were expecting Clyde to win their game, so knew that a win for us on Tuesday would have been massive. And thankfully we've got that. But I do think that there's no point in beating Falkirk if you can't then go and follow up and beat the teams in the bottom half of the table. It's good that we've got the result against Falkirk, but you need to follow up and beat Clyde.
But all in all, though, all the teams in League 1 and League 2 completed the 18 games under, you know, some great kind of stress and restrictions that have been placed upon them. But it's brilliant to see not just Peterhead complete the 18, but the other 19 across the two leagues.
Absolutely. A lot of work has gone in from all the clubs. I know that when they were told about the restart, they all to sign up for it and agree to it. But agreeing to it and actually getting it put in place and practicality, you know, is completely different. You know, and hats off to Clyde. They were three games behind going into the restart again. They'd only played, what was it, 8 games. And the fact that we're up to 19 now is, sorry, 18. It's, yeah, a massive testament to all the clubs and everyone that's managed to get games on, because there's been a few clubs having to play, you know, Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday in League 1 and League 2. So massive credit to them all.
Yeah, it's been an extremely difficult one for all the clubs. Peterhead, obviously, is our focus. So, you know, they've been trying, along with the stream this season, other avenues for, you know, getting some income. There's the half-time draws, even though the games are away from home, which is always seems to be popular. Platinum Club's still on the go as well. I think they've got about 12 numbers left. You know, if you want to take part in that, I think it's about a tenner a month, which you think, oh, a tenner a month, but it's probably less than what you're paying for your phone bill, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when you break it down, a tenner a month, if you were going to two games at Balmoor, you know, you've you've potentially spent that in one Saturday in the bar. So, yeah, you may be thinking an outlay of £10 a month. I know things are difficult for a lot of people just now, but again, it's every little helps the club out that you support.
Yeah, and with the fact that the restrictions placed across the country seems to be lifting, and level zero, I think, is around about the end of June, which means we can get, I think, about 2,000 outdoors. Could be more than that. Which obviously, it's pretty safe for Balmoir. So hopefully next season.
Are you anticipating 2,000 at Balmoir for a Betfred Cup?
Well, it depends what the draw is, of course. You never know.
That's very true.
There's a chance we could still be playing Falkirk. So they could take a big support. That's a big support with them. But yeah, it would be nice to get crowds back in again. And obviously, people may now start be thinking about season tickets and things like that. But I guess the priority for the club would be secure themselves in this league first of all, and then obviously take it next season as it comes. But we should really push for getting the fans back.
Yeah, as much as we have been massively privileged to go into the games and be part of the media side of things, it's not quite the same, as being there with crowds round about. It's certainly different. It's football, not as I don't enjoy it as much without the fans. I don't know about you, but I certainly don't watch nearly enough as much football as I used to on the TV. It's not the same. And the sooner we can get crowds back into Balmoir safely, and we're hoping the end of July, August, Betfred Cup, and the league starting hopefully back to normal as well. It would be the ideal situation to get fans back in for then.
Right, we'll hear from a couple of the players now after the game on Tuesday. First up, we'll hear from the goal scorer, Jason Brown.
Terrific result. How does that feel?
Absolutely brilliant, yeah. I think the result's unbelievable itself, but I think the way we played makes it even better. I think we, all over the pitch, were streets ahead of them. I think we were sharper, we were more fitter, we were more hungry, and it kind of looked that we were the full-time team against a part-time team. I thought the boys all over the pitch, from Naya and Lenny obviously starting, made a good impression. So no, boys done well, and I feel that's been coming.
That performance has been there in the background in recent weeks. The manager called it almost the perfect performance. It's good to finally actually get the rewards.
Yeah, I think we said that a few weeks ago, where people look at the scoreline and maybe think, oh, we've been battered. But sitting here saying that you guys seen it here, that it definitely wasn't that. And tonight shows that with the result. I think it was well overdue. And well earned from the boys.
How easy a game was it for you, also Kyle coming in, new centre-back partnership for you, and Lenny's role making stage? Was that difficult for you to adjust, or was you quite confident with the back line?
Yeah, no, we train together and we all know each other's game. We played with Kyle at the start of the season, so no, Lenny came in and I thought he was different class, and the goals coming for crosses and stuff like that, it was really good. And Kyle was brilliant himself for obviously not playing. It's hard to come in a game like that, so a big shout out to them. I thought they were really good, and just like everywhere all over the pitch, I thought were really good, so it made my job a lot easier knowing that them boys around me were doing their jobs. And like we said before the game, if everyone does our jobs, we can more than match any team in this division, and I think that just shows you that tonight.
Let's talk about your goal then, the winner. Was a free kick coming for Strachan, played it in.
Yeah,
the Falkirk defence seemed a bit static. You were the only one that anticipated it.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, I'll put it that way. It's one thing I've been trying to work on is attacking and defending both ends. So no, delighted to see that one go in. It was a good ball actually by Danny. He was kind of wasn't forward, it was driven across, which gave me a wee bit more time to get across the defender, and I think it did catch them one or two on their heels. And I was just guided it in and followed it. I almost went in the net myself, but I was just making sure that I wasn't coming back out, that's for sure. So no, we were it was a well-worked free kick, and just delighted to see it hit the back of the net.
But keeping up your record of scoring every season you've been here, so is that something you want to add a little bit more goals to your game?
Definitely. I think when I first came in my first season, I was added a lot of goals to my game, and I've been wanting to get back to that. And obviously I was aware myself that I could have contributed in both ends, so I knew the season I hadn't scored, and it was playing on my mind a wee bit. So no, it's a delight to see that one go in tonight, and hopefully that now when you get one, you can get a couple more and help the team out that end as well, because we do get a lot of set pieces, and we have got decent height in our team, me, Kyle, Hamish now. I think we should be doing a wee bit better from set pieces. I think we get in a lot of good areas, so we need to start we have been working on it, so it's good to see one go in. I think it's well overdue.
The goal is obviously a bonus for you as a defender, but is the main priority a clean sheet?
Definitely, yeah. We pride ourselves, us and the goalie and the back four and the goalie and clean sheets. So that's our first and foremost job to do. So we knew that's what we go in mindset every game. And then if we can help at the other end of the pitch, that's just a bonus. But we concentrate on being concrete solid, which I thought we were tonight. I really didn't think they caused us much. Not problems at all. Even you look at, they've got Morrison, they've got Fotheringham under the wings, who are good players. I thought the back four defended really well as a unit and individually. I thought the battles we won all over the back four. I don't know if the stats, but I don't know if they had a shot on target. So that tells you a lot about it. And it was a really good improvement, because it was, again, a young back four.
Yeah, and a word of the week, Danny Sturgeon, how well he's done since he came in.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I was just speaking to him in there. He's a top player. He's came in him for his first couple of games. It's absolutely brilliant. Just the confidence he had tonight. You can see first 5-10 minutes he's a wee bit nervous, but you just need to give these boys encouragement. And then, yeah, he stepped into the game, and he didn't give them a sniff down that side. So, no, it's really encouraging. So, delighted for him.
Looking forward to next week's busy schedule.
Yeah, definitely. More games, the better. That's what it's all about. Like, I don't know about the legs saying that, but it's good for us guys. That's what we want to be doing. We want to be playing games. So, yeah, looking forward to a big couple of weeks coming up, and hopefully we can kick on.
Right, so we'll hear now from Naya Payne.
Naya, terrific win. How does it feel?
Absolutely buzzing. We worked really hard for the 3 points today, and I think we got what we deserved.
Yourself, you played up front. Is that a position that you're comfortable in, or are you kind of...
Yeah, like, I started my career as a striker, and later on I've moved more wide, and the gaffer knows I can play either, so wherever the team needs me, I'm happy to play.
And how did you find the physicality?
I found it alright, to be honest. Like, I felt like I dealt with it well. It's different from playing wide, because wide's got a bit more time up front. You kind of have to just battle and just be there and hold it up and bring other people into play, and I feel like I did that today.
You mentioned hold up play there. I thought it was a particularly good part of your game tonight, because obviously we've had Isaac Lee, Bruce Lee, Ben Armour, they're big strong guys, but when you look at your physique, you maybe wouldn't naturally think that you're brilliant at holding up the ball, but tonight I thought you were really good.
Yeah, thank you very much. Just because that's what I used to work on when I was younger, and I've always had that kind of ability to hold up the ball well, bring other people into play, and then use my speed to kind of get in behind. So yeah, I felt like I did that good today.
The manager said it was almost the perfect performance. Did you kind of feel that on the pitch as well?
Definitely. I felt like we were, from the start, we was showing our like enthusiasm, and we was hungry, and we wanted to be in the faces and get the ball back as soon as we can. And then obviously our quality, and we knew if we kept going, a chance will come. And then Jason did really well to finish.
Is that something Jim's tried to install in these last couple of weeks? Difficult with lack of training, but really pressing when you don't have the ball, working hard to win it back.
Yeah, that's the gaffer's ethos, as in like hard work and hunger will beat a lot of teams. If we press them, then we can play. You have to earn the right to play, and that's what gaffer kind of wants us to do.
It's been a tough schedule since the restart. It's going to be even tougher next week. Four games within a week. How are you going to feel about that?
I'm looking forward to the challenge. I've never had to deal with so many games back to back. I don't think anyone has. You just have to thrive with it. Obviously, it's football, and it's the times we're living at the moment. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to be playing.
And how you settle on the team then, in the surroundings?
Well, to be fair, because I feel like the gaffer and the boys are very like helpful with that, and they've like took me in and as one of their own kind of thing, and like made me feel very comfortable. It's quite hard moving from a different country and coming into a team, but they've made me feel very welcome.
That's one thing I was going to ask you about your commitment. Even before you even signed, you're traveling up just to train. What was it that made you sort of keep coming up and the long drive up?
Just because I know I know about this club, and it's a big opportunity for me to show what I can kind of do. And obviously, the relationship I got straight away with the gaffer was really, really good. And obviously, he was saying that he'd give me an opportunity and a chance to show myself. And he liked what he'd seen in training, so I just wanted to go out and prove it on the pitch.
And what have you found the standard? Is it what you expected? Is it better, or is it worse?
No, it's probably what I expected. It's a good level. Everyone can play. There's very decent players in this level and very good players in this level. And I feel like it's the physicality that you have to get used to. And I feel like I've adjusted to that well.
Naya has shown signs in the last couple of games, particularly on Tuesday, that he's settling in, and he's there was questions of whether or not he could play up front, but I think those have been answered now.
He was good on Tuesday, really good. I was impressed more with his hold-up play, bringing other players into the game. I guess when you're playing Falkirk, you're not expecting to have an abundance of chances and have much of the ball. So his hold-up play was going to have to be crucial. And as I said in that piece there, you look at Naya and you don't think he's physically built to, you know, hold up the ball well. We've tried Isaac Lane up top, that didn't work out. Ben Armour, he gives it to you in spells of games, but I think over a sustained period, that's probably not the answer. And maybe Falkirk took Naya Payne, you know, lightly as well. They probably looked at him and thought, you know, he's not going to really cause as much problems with his hold-up play. But not only that, he's running in behind. He linked up well with Hamish Ritchie and Kieran Freeman on the right-hand side. And yeah, he gave Falkirk a lot to think about. And just when he first came, I think Jim had him out on the left-hand side trying to cut in. And as you said, it's certainly been answered. These critics, or if there was a question mark over where he'd be playing, I'd be inclined to just throw him up top again.
Yep, so we'll hear finally from the league debutant, Lenny Wilson.
Lenny, congratulations, first league start. Pretty comfortable in the end?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Corker can complain with the scoreline. Lucky there'll be more, I think. But no, that's a testament to all the boys in front of me. Made my job very easy tonight. You know, from the strikers right through the defenders, like, didn't give them a second on the ball. What can I say? I'm sitting here with a clean sheet against, you know, top league team, and not really heartbreak sweat. So no, I really enjoyed it. There's obviously a lot more to it than saving shots. There's a lot of concentration and taking crosses and whatnot. So no, I just believed that, you know, when you get told that you're playing, initial kind of surprise, but no, I was pumped to go to the game. I'd imagine myself being a bit more nervous than I was, but in the day, I have been, though I've not been playing maybe a year, I've been playing week in, week out the last 4 or 5 years of my life, so it wasn't, you know, too bad a situation. It wasn't like a St Johnson game where it was a 30 mile an hour wind in the face, and I thought, oh, here we go. So, no, enjoyed it, delighted to get the 3 points.
When did you find out that you were starting? Did you get much notice?
Not much notice at all, but at the end of the day, it's team sheet is right out here. You've got to be ready to play or not. So just a case of, you know, in the warm-up, knuckling down, getting the basics right, and then, you know, just being concentrated. I knew what I expected, to be busy, but the way the game turned out, I didn't have to be too busy, but it's a strange position, a goalkeeper. You know, with all the stats, I'll say no shots and whatnot. As I was saying earlier, it's all about, because any second, especially with, the height they possess with Dern and Salmon, it was obvious what they were trying to do, get on second balls, and at the end, if I can come in and help them out with a few crosses, then I feel as if that's my job done for the night.
You came out for a few crosses towards the end, was that kind of a bit of a boost to you as well, just to take them in clean?
Take them in cleanly would definitely be the key for that. But no, I think it was all obvious towards the end of the game, within about 10 minutes, what their tactic would be. You know, they kept Salmon on the pitch for a reason. Great experienced player, big physical size. So, no, just reading the flight of the ball and then taking it cleanly, as I say. So, massive relief. I'm sure everyone in the stand was just as relieved as I was when I look up at the referee and, you know, he's saying, you know, not much time left. So, I'm just delighted to be sitting here with you boys with 3 points and a clean sheet.
It's a testament to kind of how well prepared a number two, if you like, has to be, because you could come in at any time. So for you, do you kind of see yourself maybe challenging for that number one spot now as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think from the outside looking in, it's going to be night and day between number one, number two and whatnot. But at the end of the day, like, we're in training every week, working just as hard. Me and Josh get along well. It's, you know, two goalkeepers at a similar stage in their career, albeit I'm a couple of years older, but, you know, we're both coming into the senior game now, looking to make our mark, and he's played basically all season, but as you say, you've just got to be ready, because at any moment you're thrown in. So no, I'm just you know, very grateful for the manager to, you know, keep the faith in me and give me a chance in, you know, quite a big game.
It's your first clean sheet, so hopefully first clean sheet of many. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's only what, 4 games of the season left now. I'm not sure what the manager will do with me and Josh now. I'd like to think there's maybe a bit of a headache there now. It'll be a good problem for him. I don't think many teams in this league will have that, you know, tough decision to make goalkeeper wise, hopefully. But I think big picture is looking at next season. I think this season's not worked out for me the way I wanted or expected. You know, partially down to my fault and things out of my control. And it's about, you know, being about just trying to stay positive with the next season. Can I put, you know, make that number one spot my own? You know, factors might be outside my hands of what, you know, Josh does, or if, you know, I'm going to get another contract. Like, you just never know. Just go. But I like to think, you know, today I've shown that, you know, I can play at this level. There might be half a few question marks to some fans, that's the Kelly Hearts game, but these things happen. It's a 1 in a million mistake that I don't worry, I've still been thinking about it for a long time as well. So no, I'm just delayed. It's been a hard year for me, but that's kind of put a nice stop on it.
Have you sorted out your clean sheet bonus yet?
I don't think the chairman will be expecting me to come in anytime soon. No, I mean, maybe if I get a couple more, there might be a wee bonus for me. But no, I think the bonus for me is just that playing time, because, you know, great game will come into Falkirk at home. You know, they're chasing the league. We're, you know, more looking behind us now, and it's a big 3 points. Look at the table now, especially the results that have, you know, happened tonight as well. It's a big 3 points, and touch wood, we shouldn't have to be looking behind us anymore, and we can look to finish as high up as we can now.
Lenny was quite open and honest there, I think, of his assessment of himself, you know, personally and maybe professionally as well. But he's come in and he did look really good on Tuesday. But I think the good thing from our kind of point of view, from speaking to him, was how honest he was and said, look, I've made mistakes, and it's partially my fault as to why I'm not playing.
Yeah, it was quite refreshing. I think that now that he has got that taste for it, and a clean sheet as well, like we said, he didn't have much to do in the game, but he still kept a clean sheet. That'll give him a massive confidence boost as well. He'll want to play football. I think he realises, as he admitted, he made mistakes earlier on in the season, and for one reason or another, he wasn't in the team. And Jim's got a headache for Saturday on whether he goes with George Ray, who's been his number one this season, or whether he goes with Lenny, who didn't really put a foot wrong. It would be hard to drop him, but again, it's a headache for Jim, but a positive one. But you'd like to think now that Lenny's got a taste for first-team football with Peterhead, that he might try and kick on, not only for the last 4 games if he's playing, but for next season as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a hugely difficult decision now for the manager, but one that I think he'd greatly like to have. And not just with the goalkeeping situation, but with, you know, what do we, Andy McDonald as well, because I think Kyle Bailey's, he's played well enough to justify another start again.
He's probably forced himself back into Jim's thinking. And like I said, it's a good headache to have. You know, 5-6 weeks ago, it was square pegs and round holes, and we're struggling for, you know, you could think, okay, we've got 11 fit players, but who's going to play where? And it was a bit of a nightmare. And that was just for us. So you can imagine Jim's predicament as well. So, I'm sure it's a headache that he'd like, and he'd probably take that over anything at the moment. And obviously, it's a good headache to have.
And they'll probably need maybe to kind of rotate slightly as well, possibly. We've got 4 games in just over a week. We have, you know, Saturday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday is how it's worked out. So we've got Clyde first on the Saturday. East Fife will play Dumbarton. Forfar will be free, so they're going to miss that game. So ideal scenario, I guess, for us would be for Peterhead to beat Clyde and East Fife to beat Dumbarton.
Yeah, I almost think that this game is bigger than the Falkirk game. Whilst it was brilliant to get the 3 points on Tuesday, like I said a wee while ago, there's no point in beating Falkirk to then go and drop points against Clyde. And we all left Balmore when we got beat by Clyde, massively disappointed. It was a good performance, but, you know, we're on the end of two good goals and good play by Clyde, but, you know, were the architects of our own downfall. in that game, and that's something that lessons have got to be learnt, and I'm sure they will have been. And you're looking to go out on Saturday, get 3 points, and you know it'd be a massive, massive step to securing our status in League One.
Tuesday is the next game we don't play, but Forfar are away to Dumbarton, and I guess for that one, you want them to kind of take points off each other. A draw would be ideal.
Yeah, I think Forfar's all but gone. Whether it might go against us in terms of, because if they are relegated, they've nothing to play for, they might just come out and, you know, open up and play. Like Tony Docherty is now helping out there as well, in a coaching capacity. So, you know, a couple of weeks with him being there, and things might be slightly different in their approach to the game. We're just hoping that results go our way when we're not playing. But again, as I say, we've got to capitalise on the good result from Tuesday going into the last couple of games.
Then we've got to go to East Fife on the Thursday night, which is unusual to play on a Thursday night if it's in this league. Although, as you said earlier, some of the teams have been doing it on a regular basis. We want to try and get something out with that one. I guess, depending on how the results go in the first two game days, you might come away with that with a point, or even a loss. It might not be too bad of a result.
Yeah, I mean the league table, because it's so tight at the bottom, it'll change. You know, every time a team's played a game, the league's going to change, and we could be, you know, quite happy with a result one week, and then all of a sudden after the following game, you're thinking actually that point wasn't actually a good point. We're probably needing a win. It's going to be tough. I think that that ending, the two games in between, the Thursday, Saturday, will be very crucial, because obviously it's two games within 48 hours. How do you rotate the squad and try and keep everyone, you know, fit? Tiredness, fatigue, it's all going to play a part, not only for us, for the other teams as well. It certainly makes one entertaining end to the season.
Yep, we've got the final home game on the Saturday. Against Forfar. So is it an advantage then that we're playing Falkirk, Forfar and I keep saying Falkirk, Forfar and Clyde as our home games, or does it really matter at all?
It probably doesn't really matter, because obviously you would like to think if it was a home game you've got that crowd behind you, but also we don't have that this season. I think the fact that we've got Clyde at home might be an advantage, because they realise how bad the result was when we played them up here just a couple of weeks ago. And it was whilst the performance was okay, it was good. We were, as I said, Architects went down for it, and they want to right a few wrongs in that game, and it could be the game that, you know, it secures our safety all but. Barna, I think you need another point depending on other results, but yeah, crucial game, and one that I'm hoping we take full advantage given Tuesday's result, and you know, it gives us a bit of confidence as well.
And we've lost to both at home as well this season, so it's never
been... Yeah, so the form sort of goes out the window as well, does it?
Last game of the season is on the Tuesday against away to Dumbarton. Hopefully by that time, you know, we've secured our status in League One again, because you know what, going into that one, you know, having to get something.
I would like to think that we're a lot healthier after Saturday's game, and just to give you that bit of breathing space, is really the way we're going in the last two games. Pardon me, desperate to pick up a 3 points somewhere. It's added pressure that we don't need, and given the fact that we beat Airdrie after the restart, and then we were down at Dumbarton and winning, we're looking, you know, we're quite happy with the squad. The way they came back was looking really good, and you were thinking outside chance of top five. And here we are with four games to go, thinking, you know, you could still get relegated. I guess that's the advantage of a League One. You might say, some folk might say it's a disadvantage, it's so tight, but it's been really competitive. We've said before, anybody can beat anybody. But as you said, secured our survival's the main priority this season.
Yeah, the start of this game was obviously going to be big, but it's a significant one for the manager. It'll be his 400th game in charge, which is quite a feat. It's quite unusual in this day and age in football. Just how big a significant number is it for the manager?
Oh, it's huge. Like you said, there's very few managers nowadays get that length a time at a club. I think maybe now the average manager might get, 18 months or so. They've really got to hit the ground running when they go in. I think there's, you know, we've spoken to many people over the last couple of years that's with Peterhead Joe or ex-players, ex-professionals. You know, they all speak highly of Jim, not only as a manager, but as a person as well, behind the scenes, and you know how they've taken to Jim. And the chairman and the board have got a good relationship with him as well. So it's a massive milestone, and we're certainly hoping that there's another few milestones to come as well.
Hi, Jim, so 400 games, congratulations. How does it feel?
It doesn't matter to me, really. Just it's nice, obviously, to spend so much time at a club. And you know, in my career, if you looked at my career, you could see that I've played for numerous clubs. But I think for me personally, to know that I've kind of had 9 good years at Dundee United, and I've had 9 years at Peterhead, you know, it shows you that, you know, I'd rather be content and happy than move about. So, you know, it's a landmark that's there, but it won't mean nothing to me if we don't get a result out of the game, you know, because at the end of the day, every time you get into a game, you've got to try and prove yourself out of a game, and that's just the way it is, you know. It's just football's like that. You can't just rest in your laurels. You just keep going again. So if we get a result, it'll be a nice landmark.
Must be a proud moment for you, because managers in the game nowadays, and didn't I seem to get one at a club a couple of years, maybe a push?
I know, but if it wasn't for the backing that I've had here with the directors, and you know, that might not have happened. So it's nice to be supportive like that, and especially the relegation season where, you know, a lot of guys would have been sacked. But you know, I don't know if I've had some credit in the bank or whatever, but you know, it's just a case of trying to just keep going, and you know, when you're happy doing something, you know, the season that we just missed out in the league, and then the season that we won the league, I just felt then as though I needed a break, because it doesn't matter what level you're at, you put yourself under a lot of pressure to win. And obviously that season we missed out to Montrose, I thought, was it 77 points? It was a terrific season, and we missed it, you know, kind of unfortunate at the end in the playoffs, just because we basically hardly a team. But, you know, so to then go the next season and win it, I just felt as though, Christ, I could do a wee break for this. But I think when obviously lockdown came last year, it's probably gave everybody time to reflect, and gave us all that wee break, and you know, whatever part of your life you're at, it gave us all a chance to reflect on stuff, and it was good for me as far as letting me know how much I missed it, and just to see if we could go again and get it, you know, get going again. So, because this job's like, it's a wee bit different as far as because of the travelling, the logistics of the place and all that. It's a wee bit different for other jobs. So it's you've always got to be at it and keep thinking all the time and you know, try to get the right training area, try to get players. I mean, in an ideal world, everybody would be for Peterhead, but you know, it's just, doesn't happen like that. So, but it's good, you know, and I do feel as though, you know, generally it's been a good time.
It's not just yourself that's been here for 400 games, your assistant, Davy Nicholls, has been here for the same length of time. How much part has he played, and how loyal has he been to you over the years?
Well, Davy obviously just epitomises what an assistant manager should be. Just, you know, back you at the hill, be there for you all the time, good soundboard with the players, and also have a good knowledge of the game. and Davies get everything like that. I mean, I come for Dundee, I travel for Dundee, he travels for Glasgow for 400 games. So it's a lot of travelling, a lot of time put in, and I can assure you he doesn't do it for a lot of money, you know what I mean? So it's, you know, it's nice, you know what I mean? We've been that long and we were at the Shire for a wee bit, I know. And, you know, I just think it's so important. And in modern day football, again, it's something that it's getting kind of a frozen out a wee bit, move sideways where, you know, if you get a job, you're getting staff, you know, that you don't particularly want, you need to work with, and I don't think it's the right way to work. So it's good, you know, it's good having somebody like that, you know, that's got your back the whole time.
There's a lot of loyalty and respect between yourself and the board and the chairman. That's kind of why you've been here so long.
Okay, there's no doubt about that. I mean, obviously, Roger and Ian Grant, it was Ian Grant that really brought me here, I think. And, you know, I've been close to the two of them since then, and, you know, still close to the two of them. And I think, as I've said umpteen times, the great thing about Ian was he played football at Brechin and places like that, and he understood the game, and he understood, you know, lights of the season, we get relegated. I mean, I go on that in my head 100 times. You know, if we lost the cup final against Rangers, there was just such a landslide. And, you know, even the playoffs at the end of that season were so disappointing that we couldn't even put up a show. And you come at the end of the season and for the first ever time the club's made some money. We've been in a cup final, we were in the championship playoffs really early, and you know, if I was being brutally honest, I really mismanaged because I should have seen the warning signs, but felt I had to be loyal to the guys that had done so well. So even now I still wrestle with myself, and sometimes I just come back and say, no, I've done the right thing, they deserve my loyalty, you know. So like, say, having somebody like Ian, they have understood, and even he said, you know, that, you know, we should have done something about it. It's, again, hindsight is a great thing, but, you know, I don't know why we went in that slippery slope. I don't know if it's because we were at such a high point. I mean, for everybody to go to Hamden and play in front of 49,000. And then after, we just couldn't get back to it again, you know. So having that relationship, and then Roger always being here, running the club the way he does, and you know, seeing how much he does, it's really humbling. So, you know, these guys, I know Ian's still not here, but I still keep in touch with him and I speak to him all the time, and he watches the games, and hopefully he'll come back once you know, lockdown's over and stuff like that. But you know, I just think, again, this past year, Roger has been unbelievable what he's done. Unbelievable. He's basically kept the place going himself, you know. And so you're just trying, as a management team or whatever, you just try and do your best for them and make sure that, you know, you keep the team moving forward if you can.
Was that the highlights then, the two league titles? Or the Pettifac Cup final?
Ah, yeah, listen, there's been a lot of good times, you know what I mean? We've beaten Dundee United at Tannadice, we've beaten Hearts here, we've beaten Dundee here, we beat Rangers at Ibrox. There's been a lot of good times. So, you know, it's something to look back on, you know. And I'm at the stage now, I mean, you're talking about 400 games. Well, at least whatever happens between now and the end of the season, at least I know when I think back to my time at Peterhead, you know, if I'm not here next season, then, you know, I'll look back with fond memories. And that's really important to me, you know what I mean? That's the memory I've got of this club.
typically Jim kind of plays it down and wants to kind of highlight everybody else around about him, but it's still a phenomenal achievement nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. As we mentioned slightly earlier on, that it's a massive milestone, not only for him but for the club as well. You know, there's something to be said for the club with the consistency that they've got. They know exactly what they're getting with Jim. And like I said, we're hoping that there's many more games and seasons to come with Jim at the helm.
And as he says, it probably won't matter so much unless they get the 3 points, and that's probably what he's aiming for.
Yeah, the 3 points is the most important thing, and you know it goes without saying it's what wins your football games. But without, you know, that consistency, I feel with Germany's coaching staff, I don't think we've got that platform. I think there's so many teams that become yo-yo clubs, and I'd like to think that all being well, we're an established League One club, and what he's done on the budget and the finances, the recruitment, the resources that he's got at his disposal. You'd be hard pushed to find someone that can do a better job.
Yep, so that's coming up on Saturday. Because of the busy schedule, we are going to take a wee bit of a break, because it was difficult trying to fit in the games and when we're going to record when it's kind of appropriate. So we'll be back, funnily enough, once the season finishes on the Wednesday the 5th of May. For recording that, and we'll look back on hopefully a season where we're staying up, and we'll look back at the rest of the games.
Yeah, it seems weird that we're saying we'll be back at the end of the season. It's 4 games to go, but yeah, it's just a little of, what is it, 2 weeks. It's crazy, and like we said, touched on earlier, it's credit to all the clubs that have managed to get to this position. And hopefully, as you said, we've got 4 games to go, but hopefully it'll be looking a lot healthier after Saturday's game against Clyde.
Yep, fingers crossed then. So that'll be it for this weekend. We'll be back, as I say, on Wednesday the 5th of May for a roundup of the final 4 games of the season. My thanks to Martin for joining me as always. And for Martin and myself, a big thanks for you guys for listening. Stay safe. We'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.